Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Liza Ramlow spent 3 months in the middle of a crisis. She was a member of Doctors Without Borders, and she worked on a search and rescue boat scouring the Mediterranean Sea for refugees and migrants. Her crew picked up people fleeing Libya for refuge in Sicily and southern Italy. And the ones they found, however, they were the lucky ones, according to Doctors Without Borders, because one of every 41 people who attempted to leave Libya by boat have died trying. And as a midwife, Ramlow worked with many women who attempted to make the journey. She kept records of their stories and what they'd experienced, and she joins us now in the studio to talk about it. Liza Ramlow, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.
So can you just tell us first briefly, you spent 3 months on the Aquarius, this boat operated by Doctors Without Borders. What was that like?
Being on the boat.
The experience of rescuing these migrants.
Yeah. Well, it was an amazing experience, which brought me, as you said, right into the middle of something that a worldwide crisis that I didn't understand as well as perhaps I could have when I went, but I sure understand it better now, having met the people who are truly in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. So being on the boat, we were out at sea in international waters, never close to the coast of Libya, never closer than 12 nautical miles. And then we were directed to the vessels, the ships in distress that were found by the rescue commission stationed in Italy. So they would send us, for the most part, to the boats we needed to find. And sometimes we found them on our own. They were these rubber boats that are very flimsy, or wooden boats that are cobbled together, not meant to go very far. So they make it just into international waters, and then they run out of fuel, or the boat starts to deflate and sink.
Yeah. Well, so if I could just jump in here.
Yeah.
Forgive me for interrupting. But,
of course.
But given that you're a midwife,
yeah.
Right? I mean, a lot of the people that you assisted were women and children, I presume, as infants even, or pregnant women. And there were specific things that you learned about these women that I'd love to hear you tell us about, like the experience of their journeys.
Yeah. I think what I learned, the most central lesson, is that these days the best way to be accepted as an immigrant in another culture is to be a victim of conflict, victim of abuse of some kind, driven out of your country. That those are the people that we accept, and those are those people will find sanctuary, will find asylum. Mm-hmm. But what we ought to be doing, I think, is thinking of these people as the same kind of courageous people that our forebears were who came to this country. They are absolutely amazing women. I can think, for instance, of a woman whose name was actually God's Choice, who she left the detention center when 42 women were shot by the guards in that place.
In Libya.
Not knowing where she was going, she ran, and she did make it to the beach. Women were killed on the beach. A couple of them were trampled to death right in front of her, but she persisted, got on the boat. And on the boat, she stood for 9 hours because she knew that if she sat down, it would be dangerous for her. One of the fatalities that we encountered was another woman on that boat who was, in fact, sat upon and trampled to death. It's a kind of a panicky situation when a boat like that starts to go down. But God's Choice knew what she wanted to do. And one of the amazing statements that she made to me was that she really was seeking an education. She wanted to support her family back home in Nigeria. And she said, with education, there is one light shining in the family, which will shine on the others. So I can't disappoint my family. I must succeed.
Did you encounter many women who had experienced, because I've been seeing stories about this, like sexual violence?
Yeah. One of my jobs was to help those women tell their stories, to make a safe space for them so they could tell those stories, and we could offer them what medical treatment we have available post that kind of rape.
So was it common?
Yeah, very common. Rape is used in that setting in Libya as a tool of subjugation and control. And that's beatings and rape are used with men and women alike.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, because I'm just mindful that I don't want to run out of time before I ask you a couple of important questions, I think. You know, I'm very glad to hear you tell us your stories and what you witnessed while working in the Mediterranean, because we happen to be in the beginning of a summer where we're not talking a lot about the migrant crisis, whereas a couple of summers ago it was in the news every single day practically. Mm-hmm. And yet, I mean, has the flow of migrants reduced, or is it just that we're not paying attention as much as we were?
It has not reduced at all. No, people, despite the dangers, despite what life is like in the human trafficking center that is Libya, people are making that journey because they want a better life for themselves, for their families, and they don't know how to achieve it in their own countries where governments are challenged to put together an infrastructure that works for all their people, for instance.
Did you witness, were there times where your boat, the Aquarius, wasn't able to get to people fast enough?
Yeah. I think once we had the boats in our sight, we were able to take care of them. We had an amazing rescue team in the SOS people. They were fantastic in what they did. They were the ones who actually got the people off the boats. But we would be so busy with some boats that we couldn't attend to others that were just a little bit of a distance away. Sometimes there were other actors in the area who could help, and sometimes there were not.
Hmm. And just, we have a couple of seconds left. Now, you actually, do I have this right? You came out of retirement to work with Doctors Without Borders?
Well, I worked for 30 years as a midwife in Greenfield, Massachusetts, and then I actually retired so I could do this work.
I see.
I'd wanted for a long time to be a midwife with Doctors Without Borders.
Well, Liza Ramlo is a midwife with Doctors Without Borders, and she recently returned from a 3-month stint with the group on a rescue ship in the Mediterranean Sea. Liza Ramlo, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.